matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what they did?
You know me. I'm the hottest in this
scene. WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So outside of us dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, the weather outside is frightful. Welcome, winter 2021. So before we really get into the meat of the show and all the preliminaries, I just wanted to take this time to say rest in peace to Larry King, who passed this past week. I loved watching Larry King growing up. I mean, he was the king of he was just the king when it came to media and when it came to interviews. And there is a lot about his style that I feel like I've adopted over the years. So the media world truly lost a huge giant. So I just wanted to take that time to say rest in peace to Larry King. Now, normally I'll do my preliminaries and whatnot solo, but today I have a very special guest by the name of Fred Pierre. If you can guess it, it's my brother. Fred, say hello.
Hello. What's up?
So I have Fred back on the show this week. We're going to be talking about a very, very important topic concerning health insurance in America, where Fred is actually going to talk about his recent experience dealing with health insurance in hospitals and whatnot. So I don't want to get too much into that, but I always like when I have my guests participate in our preliminary. So we have Fred, who is going to be guessing the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week and providing commentary on some of our other segments. Are you ready, Fred?
I'm ready. Let's go for it.
All right. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hopping on fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word of the week is stimmy. Fred, can you guess what stimmy means?
Well, stimmy is a stimulus check. I had just received my stimmy in the mail, or my stimmy just dropped in the deposit.
Ding, 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 ding. So the Urban Dictionary says, so there's two versions, right? There's the noun, an abbreviation for stimulus check, which you got. And then two is the verb, stimmied. So to be stimmied is to get screwed over by your government. Example, me and my homies are going to use our stimmies on guillotines and Oreos. Too bad we can't afford the milk. So basically, you know, they give you what they're saying, I guess, is that they give you the stimmy, but it's not enough, right? So you can get your Oreos, but it's not enough for you to get your milk.
I agree.
I mean, it was only
some people's paychecks, right? Some people's paychecks are bigger than the stimulus check.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting, though, because, you know, you think about the stimulus check as being something that's supposed to be used to stimulate the economy. But a lot of people are like, dog, $600 could barely like paid half my rent, right? It barely paid the groceries. So like, what was this? Although I will say, I didn't receive my full stimulus amount. I received some. But at this point, any little thing helps. You know what I mean? Like, I am not mad. I mean, would I have liked the $2,000? which I hope Biden is still going to push forward, of course. But if they only gave me 200, that's 200 more than I had last week. So I'm not even mad.
So wait, they're promising only 200 now?
No. I'm giving an example for you.
Oh. You scared me. I was like, wait, am I missing something? I'm all over the stimulus room. Was I out of the loop? You had me scared. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, I mean, we really don't even know. I mean, you know, President Joe stated that, you know, there's going to be another round of stimulus, right? I don't know what the final number is going to be. I think they said like 2,000, but the 600 that they gave is going to be deducted, I believe. So it's going to be. Yeah. But we'll see, right? Because they say these things, but let's see if it actually happens. So fingers crossed. I mean, any money is good money, in my opinion. That's how I feel. Even if it's $100, like, give it to me. I'll pay a next
one. Don't say
Netflix.
That too loud. No. We'll take the 2,000 though. We'll take the 2,000. Don't listen to her, Joe. She's speaking for herself. She wants the 2,000.
Put some respect on that man's name. It's President Joe, okay?
President Harris. That's
President Joe. Anywho, did you see that meme that I posted on my According to RP page where Vice President Kamala Harris was like, Joe, they're asking for their money.
Oh, yeah, right?
It's like, yeah, you're in now. We're asking for the money. But I will say, though, like in the first day or two or whatever, I think they did talk about the stimulus again, like the package. The overall package, not just the stimulus we'll be getting in our hands, but for the government in general. But then they also talk about the student loans. So they're pausing student loan payments and interest until September 2021, which is good. Mm-hmm. It's a good amount of time for people who don't have that much in student loans. This is the time for you to just pay that stuff off. Like, if you don't have that much, you're not incurring any interest right now. Just stack up your money and pay that stuff off. But for those of us who owe mortgages legitimately and literally, mm-hmm. who owe mortgages, the pause is good. But I think what we're really hoping is for President Joe and staff to just be like, you know what? They've been through enough. They've paid enough. Let's discharge these loans at least by half. Because I'm hearing him talk about a $10,000 payment. I'm like, bruh, that doesn't even scratch the surface of an interest for 1 month. You know what I mean? That doesn't even scratch 1 month's interest rate. Like
you might as well give me the money.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody else said that too. I think it was Marley. I don't know. One of my other friends was saying that too. Like, give me the money and let me figure out how to flip this money to make more money.
I could make payments or something and set it up like that.
Yeah. I mean, but she made a good point though, because I'm thinking if you give me the $10,000, I can invest it wisely, right? Whether it be in the stock market or something, flip it, get more from it, and use that to make a bigger down payment on the student loan.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. So I don't know if anybody is listening from the government, specifically the Department of Education. Let's talk. I got some plans. I got some ideas. All right. So I don't know if you've been listening to the show the last couple of weeks, Fred, but we entered in a new segment called the Haitian Creole Word or Phrase of the Week. Mm-hmm. So I know that you speak Creole somewhat.
I speak Creole. Don't play me. Don't play me on the radio.
That is debatable. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, I say a lot of random Creole, you know, Haitian Creole words on the show. And so I was like, I think I might just put in a segment because, you know what? It's an education platform as well too. And so since I have this knowledge, why not share it with my friends and family and those who actually tune in? So this week's Haitian Creole word of the week is moi fret.
Mm-hmm.
since you are an expert, apparently, what does moins fret mean?
Moins fret. Oh, man. Moins fret means I am cold. But, you know, I tell everybody this, you know, especially if they want to learn Creole. It's like the Haitian language.
Haitian Creole. It's Haitian Creole language.
It's Haitian Creole language. It's very emotional and body language involved. So I can say moins fret, and you won't really think I'm cold. But I'm, if I'm like moins fret, you're like, yo, this guy's probably really cold. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, there's, yeah, we put emphasis on it, you know? Like, we put emphasis in our name, on our words. It's kind of like you running outside and it's mad cold and you get inside the car and you're like, shit. You know, like, it's cold. Like, moins fret. Freddy.
Yeah, people, you know, it's funny. People often think that we are angry and are highly upset when we speak sometimes, but it's not that. It is the emotion. We are very happy, actually. It just sounds that we want to rip each other's, you know, throat. But yes, moins fret. So for those of you listening, moins means I am or I'm. Fret means cold. Moins fret. And this word is brought to you by today's weather. The weather outside is frightful. I was out in these streets last night. It was cold as hell. The temperatures are dropping. Winter is here. And so this week's Haitian Creole word of the week was brought to you by the current temperature in New York City. Moins fret. Anyways, it is now time for the big up of the week.
Watch it. And you feel big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them big up, what?
So this week's big up of the week goes to Abby Phillips, who has been promoted to senior political correspondent by CNN, and she will be taking over CNN's Inside Politics segments, which airs every Sundays from 8 to 9. So those of you who have, you know, been keeping your eyes and ears fixed to CNN over the course of the last couple of years, really, with this whole Trump fiasco, I'm sure at some point you have witnessed the amazing, amazing Abby Phillips, a Black woman who is really holding her own in the political world. As someone who has studied government and politics and, you know, things of that nature, I am in awe at her understanding of politics, at the way that she could really break things down and how clear she is and really explaining things to a point where laymen can understand, right? So she's not just speaking in a space of just pure academia, but she is talking to the people. She is able to really, you know, give her insight and give her perspective in a very refreshing way that you don't really see much happening in politics. And so I'm really happy that all of her hard work has, you know, been noticed and she got promoted by CNN. She is, I mean, that position, the Inside Politics, was held by John King. And so many people, you know, have been tuned into that particular segment for years upon years. And now there's going to be a new face, new perspective. And I love the fact that it's a Black woman who is going to be, you know, the face of politics, right? Giving us the real skinny of politics. So congratulations to you, Abby Phillips. And for those, you know, of you who have not watched her segments in the past, definitely tune in. I know Sundays 8 to 9 a.m. is a little bit steep, but you know, there's always replays. Definitely support. And like I said, her insight is very keen, and I feel like you will definitely learn something from her. So I'm really proud of her and all of her accomplishments, and I can't wait to see, you know, what more she does for not just the Black community, but really just society in general. So now, with every high, there is a low. And this week's Womp Womp of the Week goes to the pack of wolves that attacked this young mother, this young woman, this past Monday in Harlem. So the story goes like this. Last Monday at about 6 p.m., this young woman stopped into a liquor store to get a bottle of wine so she could unwind after work. You know, this is normal practice. I myself, at this moment, probably am in need of a bottle of wine. And the crazy part is that, again, let's focus on the fact that it was 6 p.m., right? So she goes into this liquor store 6 p.m. to get a bottle of wine as she's on her way to go pick up her daughter. So as she's inside of this liquor store, a group of young men, looks like there was about maybe five of them, that rolled up in there. And one of them, who was wearing this red jacket, approached her and was like, yo, and offered to buy, I guess, the bottle of wine for her. But she did, as most women would do, as I would do, she declined. She was like, no, it's okay. Thank you. You know, but I can pay for it myself. But thank you. Apparently, that was not good enough for homeboy. Homeboy decided that he was gonna accost her and was just like, oh, so what, you think you better than me? And so from what I remember watching the tape and listening to her, you know, give the account, they, you know, she walked outside, the group of guys followed her outside and was like, yo, like, what you gonna do about it? And she was like, are you really going to act like this with me? And at some point now, they chase her across the street, beating her, kicking her. And this is like a group of like five young boys, probably more. But I think I saw like about four or five in the video. Beating her, kicking her. One of them bit her on the forehead, trying to bite her eye out. Now she's screaming at them saying, yo, I'm on my way to pick up my daughter. I got to pick up my daughter. They continue beating her. And then I think somebody yelled for her to like run or something like that. But people are calling 911. But I guess
like, why aren't they defending them?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when you think about it, right? These dudes, you don't know who got a piece on them. You don't know what's what. All you do is you see these like four or five guys. If it was maybe one guy, maybe somebody would have been more inclined to like roll up and, you know, step in. But there was a pack of them. This was literally a wolf pack. Right. Probably a gang, to be honest, but a bunch of gangbangers attacking this woman. So people did call 911. She was taken to the hospital, stable condition. She did an interview. I forgot which news outlet, but she did an interview. She explained her the horror, explained what was going on. But I think at the end of the day, this just goes to show, like, as women, we are not safe. And it would have been,
that's wild.
It would have been easy for somebody to be like, oh, well, 11, you know, if it was 11 o'clock at night, what were you doing at a liquor store by yourself? But this was 6 p.m. Like, just got off of work, stopped into the liquor store at 6 o'clock p.m. on a Monday.
I mean, even if it was late, it's still not.
Not acceptable.
Not acceptable.
Yeah, but I feel like people tend to like judge us more, right? Well, what were you doing? Yeah, what were you doing at a liquor store at midnight by yourself, you know? But this was 6 o'clock. Like this, and I think what made this even more real for me, because I felt like my skin was crawling as I'm listening to this, is because that is me. That is my friends. That is, you know, my family members. Like this is anyone walking in after work into a liquor store. To get a bottle of wine, and this is what you're met with. So
nobody said have to. That's fearful. That makes you want to stay at home and order wine now.
Well, that's like, what I've been doing, to be very honest. I mean, I mean, you know, my neighborhood's not bad, so therefore I have my liquor store at the corner. But I actually order wine, and people might think that it's bougie, but it's like we're living in such crazy times right now that like going to get a sandwich at like 4 o'clock in, you know, in the afternoon could land you in the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's also like, is this crazy to go back to what you're saying? Like, we're not safe out here. I remember a year or two ago, I remember, you know, the corner store being shut down for a little bit and being on high alert. And when I found out, it was because early in the morning, you know, these people who were selling in the local corner store, other people ran up in there and robbed everybody in the store.
Yeah.
And it was like people were in there getting coffee, doing regular stuff. I could have been one of them that normally go to the store in the morning for coffee, and I could have been on the ground being robbed.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's so messed up that, you know, you now I order Dunkin's a lot.
It's crazy, though. And again, it's like as a woman, it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because she declined. She did, you know, what she thought was proper, because it's like you don't know what people are going to expect afterwards. Right. And at the end of the day, she's like, I could afford my own wine. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, I can pay for it. Thank you, though. Right. Because that's me. I stay saying thank you, though. I'm OK. I'm good. Thanks. And it's not because I think I'm better than you. It's because I can buy it myself. And two, I don't know you like that. I don't know what expectations you might have from buying me this bottle of gum. I remember one time I was younger And I think I was like on at that corner store that we used to go to all the time. It's changed up a little bit, but I think it's the same like family on like Lefferts and Washington, like right by Pabe's house. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody offered to like buy me like a stick of like the pack of like, you know, Wrigley's gum. It was like 25 cents at the time. I was like, no, I'm okay. Thank you though. Do you know this guy literally followed me? He got upset with me, followed me all the way around the corner. I had to go into another building to hang out for a little bit just so that he didn't see where I was actually going, so that like he wouldn't like stalk or roll up or whatever. But people are crazy. You don't know what people's intentions are. So I totally understand where she was coming from when she declined it. But when I say you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because if she did say yes, like, okay, sure, thank you so much, and he bought her that bottle of wine, what if he was like, all right, miss, like, you know, where you live, let's drink this bottle of wine together, or, you know, I live right up the block, come to my house. What if she said no? Then they probably would have taken that bottle out of her hand and slammed it against, you know, and cracked it against her head. You know what I'm saying?
Saying she's ungrateful and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they could have killed her because now it's a bottle. They broke it. Like, they could have slit her throat. Like, there's so, it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. It's, I don't know. It was very, very scary, more so because the time of day. It's the time of day. It wasn't no midnight, no 11 o'clock, no 1 o'clock in the morning. It was 6 p.m. right out of work. And this happened to her. And it's crazy to me. So those, the wolf pack, the niggas, because that's that behavior right there, right? That's nigga behavior right there. Mm-hmm. They get the womp womp of the week. But what I will say is, over the weekend, there was a strong show of solidarity from the men in Harlem and probably surrounding areas. I saw somebody sent me the picture. There was like at least, I don't know, it looked like there were hundreds of Black men posted in front of the liquor store, right? And it was like, you know, a show of solidarity, like, Black women, we have your back, like, we're not gonna let it happen again.
But they should be out looking for the guys. That's
what
they really
should. I heard, you know, from the interwebs that they are looking for them, and that the street justice is about to get real. So wherever these men are hiding, there are people. Apparently I heard the hitters have already been notified. And I saw, and it's funny, I mean, it's funny, it's not funny, whatever, but I did see like a meme saying, you know, please somebody record the beat down since the rest of us could not make it. So I'm pretty sure, because their faces were very clear. One of them was bold enough to not even have his mask all the way up. So we know what he looks like. So if he lives in the
country, they probably got caught already.
They probably already got, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not looking for arrests, okay? That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for street justice at this point.
Yeah.
I need them to be stomped out, beat down. The same way they tried to bite that woman's eye out, somebody needs to get down and dirty. I'm not looking for the arrest at this point, right? Because that is a little more civil than I would like for these men. There needs to be a clear signal out there that this type of behavior is not going to be tolerated, and that the block, that the men in the community are not going to let this happen. So you let this go, you know, you let this, like, the situation happen, but know that you're going to be dealt with, so that anybody else in the future who thinks they're going to go around and do this, they know that there's going to be some real repercussions, not just an arrest. Because what I was hearing from the streets is that this situation has happened already before, probably from the same group of men at that same location, right? In the same block. So these are predators. These are serious predators in these streets, coming after women, attacking women. And there has to be a clear message. Like, it was 6 o'clock. And it's just like, I just can't get over the fact that this could have been anyone stopping to get a bottle of wine, just to unwind, just to relax after work from a stressful day, gonna go pick up her daughter. Like, that's so crazy to me. And the fact that she even was like, I'm picking up my daughter, they were just like, F that. And they continued to kick her and beat her like she still can't see from the last, you know, news report out of one eye. It's crazy. But either way, that is the womp womp of the week.
Mercy. Yeah. Mercy. Yeah, that's wild. I can't believe it. And I hope Street Justice is taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's already done. But if it's not done, I hope it's being worked on, because it's like there are certain things where the community has to be the ones to come out to be like, we're not allowing this. Like, let's send the message that this is not going to be tolerated. So I did love that show of solidarity with the hundreds and hundreds. But let it not just be that one time, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's really be protecting these women in these streets and these young children and the elderly too, because the elderly are often victimized, right? Like, mm-hmm. let that show of solidarity that you guys did over the weekend, let that be continuous. Don't stop that. You know, if you need to have foot patrol, the community foot patrol on that corner because that block is hot or whatever the case is, do what you need to do to protect your community.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not just have that one Instagrammable moment where we see all these men in the streets in front of the liquor store. Like, we need to really start mobilizing. Like, if this is a hot block and this has happened before, where are the, you know, the neighborhood watchmen posted on the blocks? Posted in the cars, ready to jump out. You know what I'm saying? Like, where is that? Like, let's just make it more than one Instagrammable moment. It was beautiful to see, but I want to see how this continues, because it's, you know, like, we need to see that every day. It can't just be one day for the gram. So hopefully that community, you know, continues to step up and protect their women, and not just the women, but the elderly and those who are vulnerable to these attacks. Either way, so we're going to move on to the meat of the show. So, Fred, the reason I asked you to be on this week's show is to kind of talk about your experience in the healthcare. So last week you had a pretty crazy week. And so I just want you to talk a little bit about what your experience was having to go to the hospital without medical insurance, the treatment that you received, and then, you know, what happened once you did obtain insurance. Because I think that the process that you went through literally in 24 hours from having insurance, not having insurance, showing up at the hospital, the way you were treated, and then coming back literally 24 hours later to the same hospital, but experiencing a totally new process is important for people to hear and to understand. When we talk about the importance of insurance, being an insured American in this country, what that really means, because I think that a lot of people, and I guess you'll talk about that too, we're kind of like you. They're like, I don't really need insurance. I haven't been to the doctor in a couple of years. I'm fine. I don't feel anything too crazy. And even if I do, I'm good. And even though you were eligible to apply for insurance, it was kind of like an afterthought. Like, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get sick enough to have to use it. Like, I'm good, until you weren't good, right? And I think that a lot of people are very nonchalant when it comes to their health care, and two, even trying to make sure that they have health insurance. I don't know what the statistics are, but there are a lot of people walking around without insurance, and they're using the emergency room and urgent care as their, you know, their primary care facility, right? But a lot of people fail to realize that when you go into the emergency room and you do not have insurance, your experience is totally different, and you could be sent home thinking that you're okay and you're actually not okay because the doctors did not do what they needed to do to check you out. In fact, you probably didn't even see a doctor. You probably just saw a nurse or a PA that gave you a prescription for Tylenol and told you that, you know what, just drink water and call it a day. Meanwhile, you actually have something serious. So, you know, every month, you know, we have different awarenesses, health awarenesses and whatnot. But I feel like we don't really talk about this health insurance issue enough. And I feel like this situation that you recently went through is a great opportunity to talk about the state of insurance in this country. And I think that it also will touch upon why many people are seeking universal health care, but that even in the universal health care realm, that there are still going to be pros and cons. So Fred, take us through your medical situation and your experience at a New York City hospital last week.
Well, hold on. All right.
And again, so, you know, only go into the details that you're comfortable with. But, you know, again, just so that we just really want to get enough so that we can understand, you know, how traumatic and dramatic the situation was.
I mean, first off, I believe, you know, everybody should have insurance, health insurance, whether it's from the state or if it's commercial from your job or you paying for it. You should have health insurance, not even the first tier. You should have like tier two or tier three health insurance.
And what does that mean, tier two, tier three, for people who don't understand the lingo?
Now, when you get, like, for example, very good job where they paid me, you know, a certain amount a year, but your benefits were health insurance. Now, with health insurance, when you pass your 30 or 90 day probation, they're going to give you health insurance. Now you have a choice between the first tier, second tier, and third tier. Now the first tier, basically, to put it in, like, break it down into practical terms, if you have the first tier, when you go to the doctor, you're going to get, like, for example, if you wanted, it's almost just like having Medicaid, say Medicaid. If you wanted to get dental work done and you wanted, you know, a crown, you're probably going to get a silver tooth cap. You know what I'm saying? And you're probably going to get prescription drugs for pain, but you're going to have a copay, probably a pretty good copay. But if you get tier two, you might not have a copay and you probably have a cheaper price on a regular white tooth. Now, if you have tier three, you probably don't pay for that white tooth and you probably don't pay for your you probably have no copay and you probably don't even have to pay. And if you have copay at the doctor, it's very, very minimum, like $20. You know what I'm saying? You go to an ambulance, you don't have to pay a certain amount of co-insurance. You know what I'm saying? But when you have the tier one, tier two, you got to pay like a 20% co-insurance of what that ambulance is cost. And then the ER. And then maybe other procedures. So when you have, it takes a lot out of your check. And it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get hurt in the year. And I just got so much money taken out of my check. But it only takes that one time for you to get hurt where that thing comes in clutch. So, and you go into a hospital being treated with top-notch, you know, service because you have that go pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had an experience before even this ER where I would go to an eye doctor with state insurance and I would get mediocre glasses. Contacts I would get them, but you know, I never heard of those brands. But then when I got this other insurance, man, the doctor was running me to every high brand, talking about, yo, you can get this one for, you know, for your eyes, you can get this kind of contacts. And she was like, you can get, basically she was saying, you can get anything you want because of the insurance you had. And I made sure I got the tier three insurance when I had that insurance with my job. But when I had state insurance, she was showing me the regular Degulus, the Fisher-Price-looking type eyeglasses.
Glad you said Fisher-Price.
Bro, I was feeling like a kid, bro. I was like, what are these? Like, somebody walk up to me and be like, what are those? But then when I had the good insurance, yo, I'm seeing Ralph Lauren that I don't have to pay no money out of pocket for. You know what I'm saying? Like, prescription paid for because you have good insurance. You know, when I went to the hospital before for a stomach issue, I had a gas issue from eating something, quote unquote, that was bad. They took care of me. They took care of me well, and I felt great in that hospital. I didn't have to pay for the CAT scan or nothing. I only had to pay $100. That was my copay. But I got the bill was like almost $2,000, $3,000. But I only had to pay $100. That's because I had tier three insurance. If I didn't have that tier three insurance, I would have had like a $2,500 bill right now. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of those moments where it's like, yo, paying all that insurance out of your paycheck matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's what matters. And I only worked for like 6 months. And that and that came at a clutch. You know what I'm saying? Having that insurance. So it was worth it for me. Then when I came to this doctor, this ER, recently, I didn't even have insurance. They went in. I told them in detail what I was going through. Now, the first person that seen me, the registrar, when I explained it to her, she seen, you know, she was like humanized, basically. She was like, yo, this guy has something going on. She let me slide through. But then the other ones, when they, you know, finally understood that you don't have insurance, you know, like, I seen a nurse, I talked to her, you know, and that was it. Then, like you say, a PA came in. She was just like, yo, you got to do this. And what she told me was, like, almost, like, disrespectful. Because I knew that was, there was something wrong with me. But what the diagnosis he gave me, it was like saying, like, oh, you just have
a sore throat.
Yeah, say if you're going in there, say if I didn't have corona, y'all, but say if I had coronavirus, but I had no insurance, I went in there, she'd probably be like, you have a sore throat. But knowing that I have something very, very, you know, scary going on.
Yeah, I think that was the part that was, because I want to harp on that a little more, because I remember I was on the phone with you when you went. And so when you got there, like, they fast tracked you, like, you, because I remember I spoke to you and like 2 seconds later, you were already in one of the beds, the hospital beds in the ER. So like when you spoke to them, they were just like, oh, my God. And they fast tracked you to the back. Like, you didn't even have to wait for them to be like, you know, Mr. Pierre, nothing like that. Like, they fast tracked you. They were so concerned with what was going on. Which is why I thought that you were going to be like, okay, great. They're going to figure this out today. But then, like, I guess, like you said, once they processed the paperwork and they were like, oh, this guy doesn't have insurance. Like, they just told you to go home and like wash your face. That's essentially how I, like, with what they actually told you, it was equivalent to them telling you, oh, just wash your face. You'll be fine. Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Tell
me about the discharge process, because I remember that part was also something that was important. And a lot of people probably don't know that this can happen. So talk to me about the discharge process.
Oh, yeah. You can, like, first off, like, when I seen the PA, after that, she left and she's like, she's going to grab my discharge papers. They don't even say, like there's no signature for the discharge. Once they give you those papers, it's like you being, like, you receive a summons. They're just like, yo, here. You're discharged. Like, you're bounced. What are you still doing here? Like, after a while, they're kind of giving you hints, like, the exit's that way. So it's like, they give you the papers. They tell you, you know, the little, you have a sore throat, you know, drink salt water. You know what I'm saying? Like, or gargle salt water. And I asked them, I was like, is there any signature? They were like, no, you're discharged.
Now, remember and when I was like, remember when I asked now, you to talk to them about getting blood work? Because they didn't. So to backtrack again and just to give the full picture, you went into the hospital for something very, very, very serious. Like, we were talking about very serious, to the point where when he got there, they fast tracked him because that's how serious it was. Right. Then you see the PA. They don't even take your blood work. And for what was going on with you, they should have taken your blood work to see, you know, what your hemoglobin level was like. Because if not, you could have probably needed a blood transfusion, depending, right? So they didn't even...
Not only...
Well, yeah, they didn't take your blood. They didn't take your blood work. And then what else didn't they do that was pretty basic?
I mean, from the description of what I was going through, they didn't even check. They didn't even check. Like, if they would have checked...
A physical check, like, right? A physical check.
Yeah. If they would have checked, they would have been like, whoa. They didn't even check.
So wait, they didn't even examine you?
No.
They didn't even, like touch you, anything like that? Like, you know, did they at least listen to your lungs? Like...
They possibly put a stethoscope. I don't recall, but they possibly put a stethoscope. Honestly, they took my blood pressure, the finger thing, you know, and...
Oh, the oxygenation.
Yeah, and thermostat, you know, like under the tongue, and that was really it.
So they didn't do. They didn't check.
They didn't touch your belly. Not like when I came the second time.
Because that's the part that's a little crazy. So now, when you asked them about the blood work and possibly doing a CAT scan and further tests, what did they tell you on the first day?
on the first day, they didn't even acknowledge it. Like, when I asked them about it, they just came in and they basically told me, this is what's going on. Here's your paper. Goodbye. No medicine. No, nah. They were saying, there's nothing wrong with you.
Okay.
Well, you see, before that, before I seen that doctor, when I was going in, the registrar was taking my information. Shout out to my queen. You know what I mean? It was an African-American woman. And she was saying, you know, do you have any insurance? I said, no. I said, you know, is there any way for me to get some? And she's like, they have emergency insurance where you can do it now. And they have one that you can just do it later. I was like, which one do you recommend? She's like, you do it now, it won't cover other appointments that you had prior. And I did have maybe like one prior. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, yeah, so you don't have to. So if you wait till later, it would even cover today. I was like, all right, thank you, thank you. She told me what website to go to. And so that's when, after I seen what they did to me when I left, and I was like, yo, I know why. It's because I don't have insurance. And mind you, I used to work. When I said I had that, you know, pretty decent job before, it was because I was working in the field of medical billing. And so I dealt with billing, like things like that. So I know how most medical places operate based off of business and their policy in business. So after I knew that was going on, I ended up going straight home, calling, doing what I had to do in a matter of minutes. People think it's a long process. It's not. You just take 5-10 minutes out of your time, 15 minutes max. You can get yourself insurance. You can get yourself, you know, health benefits and, you know, food benefits in a matter, especially if you need it, in a matter of an hour. You can basically have your whole life turned around, like getting insurance and food benefits. You know what I'm saying? Just by taking that little bit of time, making a few calls, being kind to the representatives on the phone, and they help you. And I did that. When I came back the next day, you know, I told them I had insurance, and they were still trying to, like, one of the guys was still, like, being a jerk, but
how
I
was
still,
he
like,
being a jerk?
As in, like, I was trying to, because I didn't have a card and look all professional, but I still had my stuff written down, and that's one thing I did. I'm starting to write everything I do now in life down, you know, not because I'm forgetful, but because, you know, I want to be organized. When the time comes, I look pro. And so I brought it to him, and I was like telling him, you know, what it is. And he was like, oh, I don't need that now. That's emergency. That's emergency insurance. So now he's putting in my mind, oh, this is emergency. And that's why you got to know knowledge and ask questions. Be knowledgeable about, you know, certain things and ask questions. Because he was telling me, oh, that insurance right now that you have is emergency. Oh, it ain't going to cover right now. I'm not even going to take the info. I was like, okay. I still got to go in because I was like, you know, still, you know, telling them, you know, what my issue was. And I guess me registering and saying I had insurance allowed them to see me to see the doctor, a proper doctor, which I'll get to still. But him telling me that I had emergency insurance made me think, okay, so what I have right now is emergency. When I called back the next day because I lost my my number by writing it on a silly place, so now I put it in more of a permanent place. I called back the Medicaid place just to get my information. Mind you, it only took me 10 minutes, y'all, so it's not very hard. Called the Medicaid place. Got my number back. I asked her real quick. I said, so real quickly, because I'm going to have an appointment, ma'am. Is this, you know, temporary insurance or emergency insurance so that when I go to the doctor, I don't have to give them the ID? She said, no. You're fully have full Medicaid insurance right now. So wherever you go, this is your Medicaid insurance until February. Yes, when you move into a Medicaid policy where it's like, you know, Emblem Health or Fidelis or, you know, Metro Plus, they have those ones. But she said, no, now you're into then you'll move into, you know, your insurance, but now you have state Medicaid, so wherever you go you can be treated as a patient, you know, insured patient. So the guy was lying to me the whole time. He was just not trying to take information. So the whole time then I'm trying to give him my insurance, but because I don't have a card and everything and I don't look so pro, he automatically was like, oh, now you have emergency.
And no, you see, that's the crazy part right there, though, because now when you went, did you tell them you were there? You were just there the day before?
Yep. I made sure that was the first thing I told him. And I told him, I said straight up, like, I came yesterday and I'm coming back today because I don't believe I received the proper treatment.
Good for you.
I should have. Good for because you. I know there's something wrong with me.
And what did they and say then when you said that?
Oh, they brought me straight to the back. They took my registration and brought me straight to the back to a room. That's when I knew, okay, I'm going to be seen. Because last time they brought me to a bed. Mm. It's like a waiting room bed where they determine, where they evaluate your insurance. Mm-hmm. Where they evaluate. So what happened is too is, and the lady on the phone told me this, the Medicaid lady, and that's why I don't be afraid to ask these people questions, these representatives. She told me that when the hospital puts your name, social, and birthday in the system, they find out if you have Medicaid or not. So even though that front guy didn't know, they probably put my name in, and then somewhere along the line, they were like, this guy's insured. And so now they're like, let's bring him to the back. Because he's just a front representative.
Do you think that the fact that you went the day before and they probably knew that something serious was going on, but because you didn't have insurance, they, you know, dealt with you how they did. But then you coming back now with insurance, they were like, oh, shit, he's back again. We got to do something.
Of course. Of course, it's make. And I feel like if I maybe would have shaken him up just a little bit more with me saying, you know, like, yo, I'm hurt. If I would have kept being persistent, they probably would have still seen me, but it would have still been like that long wait in the waiting room. Mm. And it's also about how you approach things. You don't want to go in there like, you know, like, yo, I came in yesterday and ain't nobody see me. And you throw in your hands. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. They will be like, sit over here, sir. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if you go in there and you're just like, you know, I came yesterday and I don't believe I received the proper treatment. And I know there's something wrong with me. And you start going into a little bit of detail in front of them, they're going to try to rush you to the back. Like, come with me, please. You know what I'm saying? It's all about conduct yourself. But you can say things in a way where it's like you're showing that you're stern, but, you know, you're not disrespectful.
Okay. So now what I've learned so far, because, you know, I always like to do a little recap, is that, one, you have to be assertive, right? You have to be empowered with knowledge. So you calling the Medicaid people, you were able to obtain certain knowledge because you asked questions and they were able to empower you with knowledge so that when you went back to the emergency room, you knew how to handle the situation and you knew how to move forward with the questions and you did not allow the jerk representative that, you know, to shake you up. Because you know what? Unfortunately, not many people like their jobs, right? And you will come across individuals who have no business being in public service or customer service roles that can make or break your situation. That can really, you know, be the turning point of a life and death situation, particularly in the medical field, right?
Yeah. And it's like health is the most important thing that we have. You know, being healthy allows you to be able to be productive in life, to be able to conquer things, to be able to continue to work so you can pay bills, continue to work so you can have money to go out and have fun and live. And a lot, what I notice is a lot of people don't have health insurance. And it's crazy because we'll put insurance on our phones, we put insurance on our laptops, insurance on our cars, insurance on our homes, but we don't put insurance on the thing that's prime, that makes money and makes all those things happen, which is ourselves. And it's crazy.
Yeah, that's a really good insight when you break it down like that, because I don't think many people think about it like that, right? Like our cell phones cost about, like, I don't know, upwards to $1,000, $2,000, and we will pay the monthly premium every month to keep it insured, and we will put insurance. I mean, there are people who even put insurance on like their, you know, their clothes and their shoes and their jewelry and things like that. We have pets that have better health insurance than we do. And that does put a lot of it in perspective. When you're thinking about, okay, we're paying insurance for all these material things, but if I now am down and out, I can't even pay to keep up the insurance on these material things because I'm not doing well. So I want to move on now to, you know, the point where you're in the back room and you're starting to see medical professionals. Like, what was that process like and how was it different from the day prior?
Well, right when I went in there, like day prior, I just laid on the bed. Real talk, laid on the bed, blood pressure, temperature, try to check my pulse, talk to them, describe what I was going through, they jotting it down. They leave, come back, see the PA. She writes down that I saw the doctor, which I never saw the doctor. And basically, she just says, yo, you know, it's light. Go home. You'll be all right. I you know, I tell you guys, obviously you guys, based off of the description and, you know, situation, you guys are like, nah, Fred, there's something wrong with you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. So, you know, I go home and do what I got to do. Now, when I come back the second time now, it's like once the doctor came in and I described to him what was going on, she was like knowledgeable. But, you know what I mean? She didn't know until she examined. And I knew. And I even told her right before when we were going to examine, you know, she was just like, yo, you know, we're going to go. I'm going to do an examine. We're going to see if there's anything, you know, going on that's not normal. You know, if there's any bleeding. I'm like, I told her straight up. I said, yeah, you ain't got to examine much. Because once you examine just a little bit, you're going to know. And that's all it took. Once she examined, she went and she called another doctor. That doctor came in. Examined for a second. That doctor went and called the third doctor. Now there's three doctors in there. You know what I mean? And now it's like, it's at a point now, too, where, like, insurance, because at the end of the day, we're all human. You know what I'm saying? We all have sympathy and empathy for, you know, one another. So when what insurance does is it's like a key. It gets you into the hospital. You know what I'm saying? And once that first doctor checks you and sees there's something truly wrong with you, they're not going to let you out, whether you have insurance or not. You know what I'm saying? They're going to still go through with the whole exam because I feel like in their heart, they're like, yo, this person's hurt. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the beauty of seeing like at least having insurance to get through. Because I know like if I didn't have insurance, all I needed to do was just take a look at me. And that's what insurance did. You know what I'm saying? Insurance now can pay for the rest of the stuff and I can continue on with the, you know, more in-depth tests and everything. But once they started checking me out, that's when they were like, yo, it's time for us to reschedule, you know, you to go see an expert now in this area, and we're going to see what's popping with him. Here's something that you might want to take to ease the pain, you know what I'm saying? Here's another referral. Oh, blood work, here's a referral, and this is what I was going to, I'm glad, you know, you asked me to continue on about, you know, what happened in the back, because after they checked me, they gave me a whole bunch of referrals. A lot of times when we go to the doctor, we get mad paperwork. We don't want to keep it organized. Nah, go through it, find out what's important, and put it to the side. Because those referrals, you want to keep them. Why? Because from working in this field of billing, you know, and medical billing, referrals are very important. Because if you lose a referral, which I recommend that you take pictures of them, because the doctor will always give it to you before you go out. Because referrals are basically, if you go see a dermatologist, you go see a GI, you go see, you go do blood work, you need referrals from the doctor. And then that area, that department will take it. And what referrals do is now when in billing comes in, referrals will say, hey, Fred has Medicaid or this insurance and he's covered because the referral has a certain coding number. But if they don't have a referral from that doctor, that policy is going to say, hey, we're not paying for Fred's procedure. We don't have a referral. And then now the bill comes back on you. And so, you know, before we move on, it's always good to make sure you go through your paperwork, take pictures of your referrals or ask for copies of them or authorizations they have. Because if you don't have those, don't depend on the doctor because hospitals lose it all the time. How do I know? Because I worked in a position where I actually would retrieve that for people while they don't even know it. I'm calling all day, retrieving it for millions of people across the states, you know what I'm saying, trying to make sure that their health insurance bill is paid and that they don't have to pay it because of a mistake of a hospital or a doctor or because it's a slip between the cracks. So always make sure you get referrals.
Now, I want to just go back a little bit to the multiple doctors that were called in to come here, you know, to come see the case, right? Because it wasn't just like there was one doctor, two doctors, and there was even a surgeon, right?
Mm-hmm.
That came in. Now, so yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No. What was it?
I was saying that there was even a surgeon. I mean, I'm just trying to like capture the seriousness of this because the day before, you went from seeing a PA to now the next day being in a room with several doctors and then them considering they're talking about surgery. So the go wash your face, you know, Monday was go wash your face. You'll be fine. Tuesday, we're talking about surgery.
Yeah. They go there. The doctor comes in. And I knew it. Like I told Doc, I said, Doc, man, when you check back there, you ain't going to have to check. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to have to check long. Doc goes. And then she's like, immediately, she's just like, hold on 1 second. I gotta go call another doctor. Check on this with me. Doctor comes in. Hey, how you doing, Fred? Da, da, da. And you lean over. You know what I mean? Does her thing. Bam. See, hey, Fred, give us a few minutes. We're going to have to go call the specialist surgeon. Boom. A man comes in. Doctor Christine. You can tell he the doctor of doctors. He comes in. Takes a look. My man's like, yup. It is what it is. We gotta have surgery. But he got to go see another specialist first. And, you know, they're going to have to take care of that. I'm like, all right, cool.
But do you see how now, crazy that is, though? Like, literally mm-hmm. on Monday, you were told to go wash your face mm-hmm. and you'll be fine. Gargle some hot, you know, some salt water in your throat. You'll be fine. The next day, mm-hmm. we're talking about surgery, specialists, and nothing changed in mm-hmm. the 24 hours except for the fact that you had insurance. And what I mm-hmm. like about this example is that you went to the same hospital. You didn't go to mm-hmm. another hospital, because I feel like this you know, example would not be as rich, but you went back to the same hospital, the same emergency department.
Yeah.
24 hours.
Seen the same people.
Same people.
Seen the same girl and the same registrar girl. It's like, didn't I see you last time? I said, yeah, I took your advice. I got me insurance. Now I'm here. And so she's probably the one I put in my in the thing that said, yo, he got insurance. You know what I'm saying? So like, and even when after I saw that doctor and he examined, he didn't even stop there. He asked about the history. Like, and that's the thing. When you see the nurses in the ER, they don't dig deep and ask about family history and all that. Like, this guy asking family history, digging deep. You know what I'm saying? And him now hearing that was like, hey, lay back. I want to take a stethoscope and listen in. So now he's listening. You know, he's chatting with me. And I like the way I could catch the vibe of most doctors when something's wrong. And he's talking to me, but I didn't catch nothing. He leaves the room, comes back with another doctor, looking like a doctor of doctors again. And he's like, Fred, lay back. I'm breathing. He's like, and then I'll hear him say to other doctors, yeah, I hear it too. I'm like, wow. So now they're finding other things. You know what I'm saying? Now they're really digging deep and doing their search. Aside from the, like you said, go wash your face. Now it's like, they're like, yo, we got something on our plate. You know, and then so after seeing him, they set me up with the appointments. They told me, you know, we're going to call you. And they did call me. You know what I'm saying? Like, now they set me up to go and have these appointments and go take care of myself and be on a road to recovery.
Great. I mean, it's so crazy to me. But you know what? The sad part is, this is the reality for like thousands and thousands of Americans each and every day in this mm-hmm. country.
Mm-hmm. And remember, I know it's based off of the insurance, because remember, it happened to me about a month prior.
That's
when
right.
I got diagnosed with Bell palsy.
That's right.
But, you know, even though it is, yes, maybe about mild Bell palsy that I had, boy, it was bad, actually. It was severe at the time, but then it went away. Even though it was then, it was that, and they diagnosed it correctly. They didn't really do any, like I just told them stuff. And all they did was just look at my face and they didn't, like, do blood work. They didn't do no scans. They didn't do nothing to be like, yeah, you have mm-hmm. this issue going on. And then they prescribed me some prescription drugs. So it's just like, I feel like, how are you kind of going to prescribe me something if, you know, you didn't really do a test?
A thorough examination.
Mm-hmm.
At least to, yeah, I get you.
And it was because I had, and it was because of the, whatchamacallit? It was because I had no insurance. That's why.
Yeah. So now.
But,
what I want to ask is with respect to insurance, right? Because many people might be listening and saying, okay, well, I don't have a job. How am I supposed to get insurance? Like, where do I get insurance? I'm not working. I'm not making any income. Can mm-hmm. I be eligible for insurance? Like, because there are so many people who don't have insurance. And I know some of it is because they might be undocumented or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who are not, you know, who that's not their issue, right? Like, so for those individuals who don't have insurance, not because they're undocumented, but because they're like, well, I don't have a job that gives me insurance. How can they go about getting some form of insurance to at least, like you said, get in the door to be seen?
Now, I would first go on Google. Google is your friend. Now, every state has their own type of insurance, has their own, you know, regulation policy. But if you go on the, I think it's even Medicaid.gov, but if you just type in my state Medicaid or whatever state you're in, like New York Medicaid, you're going to find a link where you can click on it. And then they're going to show you, you know, the Medicaid page, and it's like federal. And so they're going to show you each state. You click on the state, and they're going to have the contact us. And what I did, because I like the internet, but sometimes I just want to get to the, I just want to talk to a person, not a robot, or type things out. So I got the contact number from their page, and I called them. And then they even asked me, they said you could do it online, or you could do it now. I said, can I do it now with you? And that's all it took. They walked me through it. They talk you through it. Now, I don't know how it is. Now, I know there's different kind of also Medicaids. There's different tiers of Medicaid as well. Like, there's some Medicaid that you can get in its state, but then you still pay a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Or, like, it's worked out a different way. But I ended up just getting the Medicaid because I needed it quick. They gave me the Medicaid. They gave me my insurance, which is HIP Emblem Health. I chose them because, like I said, I used to work in, you know, billing. And I've seen that they've done great with taking care of people's policies, like people's procedures that have been done. And like, say if it was outside of the date of service, which means like they don't cover it, sometimes they'll still cover it. And so they're very good. So I chose them. And the representatives on the phone, and also I stress, be kind to people because they'll be kind to you. So, you know, I'm talking to the woman kindly. I'm letting her know I'm a newbie when it comes to this. And then she even hops in and says, you know, hey, are you working? I say, you know, currently I'm not. Due to COVID and everything, I am receiving, you know, benefits. She's like, you know, you could receive food benefits. I was like, for real? She's like, give me your email. I'll set you up. Bam, she emails me, and now I can get myself set up for that. You know what I mean? It's only going to take me like maybe 30 minutes out of my time. So now you can get more benefits, you know, from there. All you got to do is just go on Google and make the call. And it's like only 10 minutes. The number's there, and you just listen to the prompt. You know, press the key according to the selection that you want. You know, the number, the selection, and you're good. You know, it's easy. It is going to be like maybe 30 minutes at max. But 30 minutes of your time can save you a lot.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I know that that's usually... some of the rhetoric that I hear from people, like, well, I don't have a job, so I can't get insurance. I don't have insurance, but you know,
that was mine too. That's why I didn't get insurance. Cause I was like, I, you know, I hear people getting state insurance. You know what it is too? Because sometimes there's a thin line. You can be working and make enough though, where the state will be like if you make, is it 31,000, I think in New York, or 21,000, if you make more than 21,000 a year, you're not eligible for them to take care of you, state insurance. You know what I'm saying? That, which is pretty bad because 21,000 is only like a part-time job at McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Or it's like a full-time job at McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, ah, you know what I mean? It's like, well, yeah, it's like a full-time job at McDonald's. So it's like, come on now. You know what I mean? Like, it's rough. You can't really get insurance. So you're like in a tight window. Mm-hmm. It's like, either I don't work and get insurance, crappy insurance, or I get a very good job, get taxed to hell, but have good insurance, or, you know, the job I have now might not even cut it because you're stuck in that middle ground.
Yeah, I see. And this is going to be for another conversation, I think, in the future. But just again, when you were talking about tiers earlier, and then now you're talking about crappy insurance. So even though you got yourself in the door, right? But imagine if you had like a PPO, what type of, you know, what type of treatment? You probably would have had, like, you know, I don't know, the president of the hospital in your room at that point.
Yo, here's the difference. Let me give it to you dental-wise, and I'm going through it right now. State, the Medicaid insurance that you get, when you go to the dentist and they got to put, you know, those caps or crowns, you get the ugly silver teeth. But when you have that PPO, you go up in there and you get them nice whites.
The porcelain.
And you ain't got to pay. Yeah. That's the difference. It's like, yeah. Dang, why the broke person got to get iron in the mouth and the other person gets ivory?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. And, you know, that's the crazy part about insurance in this country. But I'm happy that, you know, you were able to fight for yourself. Because I think that that's one thing that we don't do, because we're not empowered, right? We're not empowered with knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I think the great thing too is that we, at least in our case, we have medical professionals in our family that we were able to text and really kind of get an understanding. Like, I know Pat, shout out to Pat, helped you out a lot in terms of just understanding like what's going on, what the process is, and our cousin Nat, you know, talking to you, just really just trying to get an understanding of kind of what to expect. But I think that having that knowledge, and even with the black registrar helping you out, like telling you, listen, this is the insurance you need to get, this is what you need to do, I think that all of that was, you know, key to your ability to stand up for yourself the second time around when you went in there and was like, and again, in a very professional way, I was here yesterday and I do not believe that I received the quality care that I deserved. Here is my insurance card, you know, basically like, you know, fix me now.
Yeah, like, yo, I'll worry about the bill later.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that that's something that a lot of people, unfortunately, because, you know, we defer to everything the doctors say, to everything the registrars say, to everything, you know, the hospital staff says. It's kind of like we feel as if we're at their mercy. But when you look at white people, they could, insurance or not, they are coming in there and they are demanding service. Mm-hmm. They are out there. They are saying what they need to say. They are dropping names, doing what they need to do to get the service. And even if the service is not as quality, but they're still being checked because they know how to use their voice in a way that's, you know, that gets the attention that they're seeking, right? And I think that as people of color, we have to do a better job of advocating for ourselves. And that doesn't mean go on Google and tell the doctor that, you know, this is what I got, I don't care what you got to say because Google told me. It means empowering yourself with information that can help you advocate for yourself. Like, if you don't feel well, if you know that something, because you know your bodies better than anybody else, right? We know our bodies better than anybody else. If we feel like something is off, like, don't just let the first doctor or first nurse or whatever say, oh, you ain't nothing, girl. Go drink some water. If you feel like something is wrong, you have to advocate for yourself, because a lot of these establishments are just farms. They're just farming people out. They're pushing people through. They're not really paying attention. And especially as black people, they don't consider our pain to be real pain anyways. They think that, you know, we're either making shit up, or that, you know, where it's like, well, they're strong. They could handle it. It's not that serious. Like, I myself, as an educated attorney with a PPO, I've still had to go through that where they were like, oh, you don't need paid meds. Excuse me?
Yeah.
You just cut through my mouth and you're telling me I don't need paid meds? I don't think so. And
yeah, you got to ask them. Yeah. You got to be like demanding. Like, especially me, like with the surgery that I'm going to have to take, I'm asking for pain meds, but I'm going to make sure, you know, I take care of myself, because I'm not one to want, you know, medicine in me. But I know that, you know, I researched, I did the Reddit and all that, but I'm going to make sure I'm ready, you know, I'm ready. And people, trust me, getting health insurance is necessary. And even if you feel something today, go to the hospital. And be persistent and let them know, you know, that you're going to have insurance let them know you're going to have insurance. Because what a lot of people don't know, and this is what I didn't know, that if you get insurance today or tomorrow when they're open, any appointment you had from the past 3 months prior are covered. So you can go to the doctor and know that you're going to get that covered. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, don't be afraid. People don't know that, but you have grace.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I learned from your situation too is the difference between city hospitals and private hospitals, right? Because the hospital you went to was a private hospital. And you know, as you were going through things, you know, people were like, tell them to go to a city hospital. And a lot of times we think negatively and we look down on the city hospitals because we're like, oh, they're overrun. Oh, there's so much stuff going on. You're not going to get the quality of care. But those are the hospitals that are used to dealing with the general population that is uninsured, that has no, you know, that's undocumented. And although it might take longer than normal, right? And you might catch corona in the waiting room, but you'll get seen, right? At least you'll get taken care of. I think that if you did go to a city hospital first, although you probably would be there the entire day, you still would have, went home probably with a proper diagnosis and not a, oh, go wash your face diagnosis, right? So I think that's also one thing that I saw through your experience, is that there really is a difference. So if you are somebody who is uninsured, undocumented, or whatever the case is, go to a city hospital. A lot of us think that if we go to the private hospital, we're going to get better care. And in some cases, that probably may be true, depending. But, you know, if you don't have insurance, go to the city hospital.
Yeah.
As opposed to going to a private hospital.
Definitely do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Fred, thank you so much for coming on again. This is the second time you've been on, I think, in the last, I don't know, month, right? The last month and change.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. But this experience of yours, I felt had to be shared. And I felt like it was important, again, to bring up this topic of health insurance and the importance of health insurance in this country, because we talk about so many other things and we talk about wellness and things like that. But at the end of the day, having some kind of insurance, or at least knowing where to go if you don't have insurance, is important, because that could literally be life and death. Like, had you been somebody who just was like, oh, well, the hospital told me I could just go wash my face and I'm fine, who knows what would happen to you, like, in the coming months, in the coming weeks even, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm glad that I went. I'm glad that it's actually, I mean, going to the hospital not only allowed me to know, you know, that something is fixable and that I can have, you know, my life changed in a better way. It also allowed me now to, you know, put responsibility on my life and get that health insurance. So now that, you know, it's like when you have something, you use it more too. Like, say, you know, you buy a new entertainment system, you're bound to use it a lot. So now it's like kind of like with insurance. It's like, you used to think of it like, I just got this insurance, now let me use it. Now that I have it, let me go to the dentist. Let me go to the eye doctor. Let me go to an ear doctor. Let me go to all these doctors, get myself checked out, because I have it. Might as well use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And know that my body is intact and know where I need to improve in my body, you know, what diet I have to have and such.
Exactly.
So that's why it's important to have insurance.
Yeah. And, you know, for those people who are, you know, the naturalistas out there, the health holistic individuals, you know, that's really important. Obviously, it's an important aspect of your life to be able to maintain yourself through a holistic lens. But at the end of the day, you still need to be seen by a doctor. Now, again, knowledge is power, right? So they could tell you, oh, you have high blood pressure, you have diabetes, but at least you are empowered with that knowledge to now, if you want to, you know, heal yourself holistically, now you'll be like, okay, I'm going to cut all of this. I'm going to stop eating this. I'm going to drink these leaves. I'm going to drink these herbs. I'm going to do this. Now you're at least empowered. But if you don't know you have diabetes, if you don't know you have high blood pressure, hypertension, cancer, or whatever it is, you can't, like, you can, yeah, continue to take stuff, but you might not be able to treat yourself in the way that you could have, right? Like, you can still eat healthy and have a balanced diet every day, but if you know that you have diabetes, there might be specific herbs that you were never taking before
that you want to increase
that
in
you, exactly, or implement. That you need to start taking, right? If you know that you have cancer, there might be a specific kind of herb that, or remedy that you can now start using and taking. So it's like, people like to, like, you know, shut their eyes to modern medicine, but it's important for you to at least know what's going on with your body. I'm not saying to, you know, strictly follow the Western medicine, you know, protocols and stuff, but at least get the insurance and make sure that you at least have the insurance for you know, so you could know what's going on with your body, so that you could know what's going on with your health, and then you could decide how you want to treat yourself, you know, moving forward. But
yeah, because mainly you don't. Main reason also for insurance. Main reason is you don't want to get stuck with that hospital bill. Because I had a tier 3 insurance, I'm telling you, I got out of a 4K hospital bill and only paid $100. It was like 4 to 5K, something around there. So that's what insurance will do. I got in a CAT scan. I got a whole bunch of stuff. I got the whole, I had a tier 3, so I told the hospital, give me the best. And they did. And my copay is only $100. And it was worth about five K. Now, if I didn't have insurance, I would have to be figuring out how to pay 4 to 5K right now.
Craziness.
That's why you want insurance.
Craziness. All right, Fred. Well, thank you again so much for, again, taking the time to talk about your experience, because it's not, you know, it's a point of vulnerability, right? When we have to talk about our medical conditions, even though we didn't go in depth with what's going on, but enough where it is something that's quite serious. But then, you know, just reliving your experience, you know, going to the hospital, being turned away, knowing that something is wrong with you, being frustrated. But again, I think that was definitely a good learning point for those listening, because a lot of people would have just went home and it's like, okay, well, I guess this is it. And they would not have fought for themselves. So I definitely commend you for doing that, and for taking it a step further and empowering yourself with what is happening, what needs to happen, and so forth. So thank you so much for sharing your story. And, you know, hopefully this show will inspire others to really take their health, you know, in their hands.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I believe that, you know, that's what God's put us all here for, to share with one another, you know, so that we can all be able to grow and be able to overcome. Because, like, you know, like, I'm sure this will touch somebody, you know, and somebody will be able to, you know, get their life together or get insurance or move forward and get checked out. Because, like, I know even through my personal circle that I have with my friends, there's a couple of them too that, you know, they know what I'm going through right now, and they actually are almost in a similar boat, you know, because they're older as well, and they're going to go get themselves checked out too, you know, which is good, because now it's like, not only one person changing their life, 3 people in the world changing their life. Mm-hmm. And the more people that's helping to change their life for the better, you know, is the ultimate goal.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.